Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one, the only, the singular show on the internet where we discuss things like fantasy, sci-fi, swords, dragons, space lasers, robots. I am Dan Selke, back from an absence last week, and I want to say two things quickly about that. A, thank you to Cody Schultz for filling in, and B, if you think you can take this, you got another thing coming. Cody Schultz, I'm back, and I will not be abdicating the throne again. And Daniel Roman, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm mildly amused at this power grab to make sure that all usurpers are put in their place, but it feels fitting. It feels on brand. And I'm glad to have you back, Dan, even though it was an excellent time with Cody. Thank you again to Cody Schultz for coming on last week.
Not too excellent, right?
But yeah, you were missed. How's that? Did I tell that line well?
Yes.
It was excellent, but you were missed.
That was very good. Thank you very much. And seriously, thank you, Cody, for filling in. But also, you stay away from my gig. But also, thanks. Come back anytime. Didn't try anything funny. We'll try to negotiate this. You have eye surgery for 1 week and you're back. Hey, everybody. Hey, Martha. Hey, Julie. Julie, thank you for getting up early. I know that it's tricky for you to watch this, so I appreciate you
Trooper.
All always. Hey, Andrew. My eye looks good. Thank you. Yeah, it was strange. I got full eye surgery. They cut it open. I don't want to bore you with all gross details. I actually do, but I won't. I love telling folk exactly how they cut things open, but I'm not going to say it here because I don't want to run afoul of any sensibilities. I think it's really interesting. But yes, I can see
we're
again.
An HBO
everything's fine.
Content level podcast. It's okay to talk about the gross, gory details.
All right, fine. They flip my eyelid inside out, and then they cut into the sty from the inside. But now it was facing
out.
Oh,
my God.
And then they dug around in there to get the gunk out. And it didn't feel good. I'll tell you that. I wasn't under or anything. They just numbed it. I thought it was painful.
All right.
Okay. And we're done.
A Qyburn status operation is what I'm hearing.
I wasn't going to share that. Daniel kind of gave me an opening and I took
it. I'm intrigued.
Anyway, thanks for coming, everybody. And let's get into some juicy things to talk about, of which there are plenty, including...
Yes.
Game of Thrones prequel show, House of the Dragon, which is coming along nicely. But now, as they're filming season two in England, in other places. But there is a complication because, Daniel, Hollywood writers, the people that give pithy lines to sitcom protagonists and the people who determine who lives and who dies on popular dramas, they're on strike. There's a Hollywood writers' strike. 11,000, I think I heard.
They are.
Are on the picket line writing their cute little signs. And you know they're good because they're writers. Demanding.
Yes. The signs have been great.
The signs have been better than a lot of other places. Like one that got me was the one sign that just said, pay your writers or we spoil Succession. And I'm like, holy crap, pay them now. I will not have it spoiled for me.
Yep. I loved that one.
Yeah,
the Hollywood, the Writers Guild of America is on strike as of Tuesday at midnight Pacific time. And like Dan said, this affects a large range of shows. It's not just people working in Hollywood. It's anyone who's done writing work for Hollywood. So people internationally who are members of this organization are also required to be on strike. Pencils down, no writing for shows. So what that means is that it could potentially delay work on some shows, might not delay work on some other ones that already have scripts in. And generally, what they have a large list of demands, very reasonable demands, in my opinion, but that neither here nor there. They have stuff they want. Studios are pushing back on a lot of it. But the crux is that it has to do with streaming. Basically, there hasn't really been a big restructure in how writers are paid since streaming took off. So a lot of writers take enormous pay cuts to write for streaming services as opposed to cable. And that's kind of at the heart of what a lot of this is, because streaming's not new anymore. It's not emergent technology, and there's a good excuse to underpay people for. Yeah.
And there are fewer episodes of a season of TV for streaming as there are for a normal, like, the cable network show. So there's less chances to get paid. They want higher residuals. There are some weird ones in here that I just want to say, like the one.
Okay.
Did you read the demand where they wanted one writer per episode of like a 6-episode season, then one additional writer required for each 2 episodes after 6, up to a max of 12? So basically,
yes,
if there were 8 episodes, it requires 7 writers. So does that mean that like you couldn't have one person write 3 episodes of an 8-episode season? They, under the union rules, they would require you to have at least seven different writers for an 8-episode season of TV?
That is a good question. It seems like that is the example that they give. And on the one hand, I mean, that's not that
negotiate
weird,
that down.
Honestly. Like, usually, you know, it's often with like streaming era shows, like you really do see a writer on an episode or two per season. Like, that's pretty normal. So that seems like a lot of the things they're asking for seem like things to ensure writers are not being overworked and underpaid, which is the prevailing problem. So that is, I would presume, a measure against that, so that you don't end up with a studio saying, we hired 2 writers for this 8-episode season, now go write us, you know, 4 episodes a piece.
We're getting around this. Like, J. Michael Straczynski just announced a new Babylon 5 thing. Straczynski famously wrote like every single episode of Babylon 5 back in the day, all like 30,000. Like, on Game of Thrones, I think Benioff and Weiss wrote most of them. Like, I am in favor of whatever's best for the show. And I don't know. I wonder if under these rules, like a creator who just wanted to write most of the episodes would be forced to hire folk that they didn't really want to collaborate with in the first place, because they don't got no idea what they're doing, and had to do that. I don't like it.
Well, that's, you know, your example of Benioff and Weiss is a decent one, actually, because there's this illusion, right, of the showrunner who writes their own show. But like Benioff and Weiss typically did 2, maybe 3 episodes tops per season. They really weren't writing every episode of Thrones.
Not everyone, but they were writing more than this would allow.
Yes, they were writing more than this would allow. So there are things like that where it seems like there maybe is some negotiating that needs to happen to ensure that to account for all those possibilities. But then there are other things they're asking for, like requiring a second step if hired for a screenplay for less than 250% of the minimum. I'm not too clear on what a second step is. I assume that's just a little bit of extra employment security for writers who are hired to do a smaller amount of writing. And basically, the counter from the studio is, we'll hold a meeting with executives about free work concerns. So there are some
free
things where it
concerns.
Feels like the studios are kind of giving the middle finger on this. AI is another one where they want some regulations on how AI is used in the screenwriting industry.
Makes sense.
And that they came back and said, we'll hold a meeting once a year to talk about advancements in technology.
To listen to you complain and ignore you. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a whole thing. We don't know how long this will last. The last time the Writers Guild went on strike was in 2007.
100 days.
And
it lasted
100 days. And it famously affected shows like Lost and, you know, all those other, Breaking Bad, I think season 1 of Breaking Bad was around that time.
Sitcoms were cut short. The Office had like an 8-episode season that year, although it was a good season. It had the one where they had the dinner party and it was really awkward. Yeah, they're already affecting things.
Yeah, Conan O'Brien famously paid his staff like out of his own pocket and just improvised on his late night show, because late night shows are going to be the first place you really see the effect of this, because a lot of them write on the fly, like day before.
And Saturday Night Live will probably go dark, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So we'll be keeping an eye on this. But the good news for the Game of Thrones fandom is that shows like House of the Dragon are seemingly going to stay on schedule, because those scripts were already done. They're off filming. I do wonder how this affects someone like Ryan Condal, who like wrote scripts, but is also the showrunner. Like, will he be allowed to be on set chiming in for stuff? Because I do remember hearing about this with Lost, that like there were writers who like did not want to leave the set of Lost because it was their baby, but the strike was happening. They had to. So I'll be curious to kind of see what the effect is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, yeah. Union stuff can be interesting because,
yes,
there's like that. OK, I'll just do it. There's that joke from All About Eve,
oh, God,
where she gets mad at like the person for moving the costumes because like you're not allowed to move a costume. That's the costume mover's job. Their union, they'll get mad about that.
Yes.
Or like, you know, Teamsters where, you know, the one person has to lift the thing and the other person has to set it down. Like there are definitely rules. Like writers, I think if you're a showrunner, you can showrun, but if you make up a line on the spot, that could be constitute writing. That could be seen as breaking the strike. Which is why there have been critiques, because folk have, yes, House of the Dragon is going to keep filming. The scripts are done, but there's writing that goes on set of any show, pretty much. Like writers, especially in these big dramas, are often on set. They're advising actors. If like an actor has an injury, they have to rewrite something, or they just want to rewrite things just because. Like in Game of Thrones, they had to write the Varys Littlefinger tete-a-tete scenes because they had to fill time and they had to do that. In House of the Dragon, episode 9, that scene where Alicent and her son Aegon are in the carriage talking, that was kind of improv on the day. And that was the only good scene in that episode. And that was kind of a...
Shots fired.
And that was like one that kind of came about organically and involved a writer. So writers do more than just write the scripts ahead of time. They also are on set finessing things and coming up with new stuff if new stuff needs to be come up with. So it's not just as easy to say that the show's going to keep on shooting. Without writers, it might be a different show than it would be with writers on set. And there have been folk who have called this out, by the way. There have been some other writers, some WGA members who were like, oh, House of Dragon shooting, huh? Scabs! Like, who have been saying that this does, maybe it's not technically breaking the strike, but that writers are going to be going without work here.
Well, yeah, so that it's tricky. When shows are in production is when it gets complicated for all the reasons you just said. You know, Good Omens is another one that is going to be largely unaffected
done,
by this because
right?
it's already done. It's already done. It's already handed in. But Neil Gaiman talked about this. He doesn't know that he'll be able to promote it the way he would like to out of solidarity for the strike because he is a member of the WGA as well. So there are, it is definitely a big spider web out of just ways this can affect productions. A lot of prominent screenwriters have obviously spoken out about this. Brian Cogman from Game of Thrones, Jennifer Hutchinson, who wrote for Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. So yeah, this is a big deal. And honestly, it's kind of due after all of these sort of streaming advancements we've seen, all of the HBO Max stuff with stuff getting scrapped kind of ruthlessly. Yeah. I think this is really necessary. I saw one writer talking about how residuals are at the heart of this. And what that is basically the writer's cut of ad revenue on reruns. And with cable, that was often four or five figures. It could get up to be that kind of amount. With streaming, it's like in the hundreds of dollars. So it just gives you an idea of how they might have been able to survive on it in the previous era, and there just aren't accommodations being made for that in these new mediums. So yeah, it's overdue, but we'll see what happens.
It is. There are also like these tricky things they do to kind of further disenfranchise writers. Like there's a thing that was listed in their demands where they're like, assemble a team of writers to break a show, but then lose them and hire another team to actually write the show. And it's all to avoid having a writer on staff for too long, such that like benefits might kick in. Like, yeah, that's some shady crap and it should be over. So yeah, definitely yep. needed
there,
but it does cause complications. And there have been some great comments on here. I think someone said that the Dans could step in and yeah, let's see, Dan goes picket line. And just, I'm saying right now, if I'm listening,
nah.
I will scab like crazy. Like, I'm
Dan,
not part of a union.
What are you doing?
We're not in the
Don't
union.
Do it. I
what?
Will not.
We're not in the
I will
union.
Not.
If how
that's
if
okay.
HBO, if HBO called
I support
you up,
the union
on the spot.
Wholeheartedly.
If HBO called you up, if HBO called you up and said, Daniel Roman, we want you to come to the set of House of the Dragon in England, Spain, wherever, and give your expertise on finessing the scenes and making sure they go smoothly as possible. We'll pay you this much. Oh, screw solidarity, screw union, screw togetherness,
nah,
screw
I wouldn't
the people.
Do it. I would
be
say,
there
call
in
me
a
back
heartbeat.
After the strike. Call me back after the strike. You can't do it. Because the thing is, these
Everybody
sorts
else.
Of things will affect people for decades. Like, I've seen a lot of people talking about how the previous strike was partially, you know, for rights for the people who are dealing with it now, but also to make sure that screenwriting is a viable profession in 20 years. Mm-hmm. And some of these changes, like another one that the studios are pushing, is to get to a point where some writers on comedy and variety shows are paid a daily rate instead of weekly. So essentially that turns comedy and variety writing into a gig economy thing instead of a job. We'll pay you for the day you come in instead of paying you a salary. So it's stuff like that where it is disenfranchising the profession. It needs to happen. Sorry, Dan, I would not scab.
Again, I don't think you can scab if you're not part of the union. No, or maybe you can. I don't know this very well. Whatever.
Well,
I'm saying HBO. I mean, because you're not, we're under no obligations. All I'm saying is, HBO, if you want me to come over, if you want to fly me to England and advise on House of the Dragon, I'll do it. I will sell everybody out. So just let me know and hit me up. My number is sick. My social is one thing. No, it's fine. anyway.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's next, Dan? What else have we got to talk about?
Quite a bit. You know, Daniel, earlier today, the good folks at Warner Bros. Discovery, who are the ones behind House of the Dragon and the ones who are Well, no, I'm still kind of curious. Do you think House of the Dragon and other shows should shut down in light of the strike, even though scripts are written already?
I think that if the scripts are done,
what do you think?
I don't think they should be shutting down necessarily. I think that would be an enormous statement, but I can really understand why a show that there's so many moving parts to that, right?
There are.
So on the one hand, you want to support the writer's strike. You need to do that. On the other hand, how many other people are you going to put out of the job by shutting down an entire production that is already underway? Like, think about the props people, the people doing the costuming, the makeup, like the sets. Sets are being built. So I think that is the trickiest part of the entire equation, is shows like House of the Dragon that are months into production already. I don't think they should shut down. But again, like you said, that gets tricky when it comes to rewrites. So my gut instinct is no, they shouldn't shut down. But also it's messy.
You also like define things where they like, the writer who said that the House of Dragon folk are scabs for doing this claimed in that tweet that choosing a costume constituted writing, which I'm like, does it? I'm not sure. I guess it depends on how broader definition is. Like, I don't have the new line. That's a writing gig. Choosing a costume? I don't know, but maybe there's a way to argue that. But we'll see that play out in the court of public opinion, in negotiations.
Yeah.
In
I think
all
that's a stretch
going
personally.
Forward.
I can understand the logic,
not
right?
Act like unions are always perfect on every single thing. Unions can go overboard, but
yes.
I do support this.
Yes,
union
they can. I think that's true. They can. I think this is a very clear instance of where it's needed. But yeah, the costuming thing, that's the stretch to me. Because it's like, yes, I mean, I suppose George R. R. Martin wrote what everyone's wearing in his book, so technically that's writing, but that's not a normal part of script writing. Like, most scripts don't say mm-hmm. this is what the costume looks like unless it's very essential. So, yeah, that's a stretch, I think.
Also, just fast before we move on, just, a lot of shows are going to come out. Like, The Witcher is still going to be coming out. That's already in the can.
Yes.
Good Omens. There mm-hmm. are shows like Stranger Things, The Last of Us, The Boys that haven't started to shoot yet, where they're still drafting yep. things. Those might get delayed. So,
Oh, no, The Boys wrapped. The Boys wrap filming season four.
Oh, so never mind. Okay, yeah, forget The Boys.
So the
so like The Last of Us, Stranger Things, maybe, and definitely The Last of Us too, because they're still writing the scripts. Or like season three for House of the Dragon, or I think the way the time is actually shooting. So things could be delayed.
Well, they're shooting.
Yeah, I think they are shooting.
Yeah, season two of Wheel of Time, I don't think will be delayed because that is already wrapped. They're shooting season three though.
We haven't heard about it.
So I don't know how it will affect.
Yeah, it's wrapped.
Yeah, they're playing it very close to the chest. Sometime later this year is when we're expecting it. But yeah, it could affect season three for sure.
What about reshoots? Like, you hear about reshoots all the time, like on Marvel movies. Yep. Like they shoot a thing and they edit it and like, we got to change this bit. So they go back and write a quick new scene and reshoot it. Like, that couldn't get done. And someone's going to try to go to AI before they have any protections in place during this period and see what that can do. It's going to be an interesting strike.
Yeah, that's the thing with like a lot of the AI discussions. This is not an academic conversation for screenwriters right now. It's not a theory thing. It is a real world case study on how studios are using it or hoping to use it, and how it might affect the writers who would typically have those jobs. So I think you're probably right. And I think that makes the case for why they need those protections in place. You know, our writers are on strike. Let's get AI to write what would probably be shitty script.
Daniel.
Yeah. It's interesting times in Hollywood for sure. We'll definitely be keeping an ear to the ground on this stuff.
I hope it resolves soon. Hope it resolves in the writer's favor. But yeah, looking forward to seeing what happens.
Yeah.
Moving on, there are other things happening. So Warner Bros. Discovery, the makers of House of the Dragon, also dropped the trailer for Dune Part 2, the sequel,
yes.
Sand Everywhere.
Love it.
And I thought that we would just, let's watch it and see what feelings arise.
Let's do it. I'm here for it.
Look, it's the Dune from Dune.
I loved this. We can't hear it here, but Paul is describing to Chani what an ocean in this scene. I loved that. And she doesn't believe him.
She wouldn't. I mean, she's lived in the desert her whole life. There's no water. Water's very precious.
That's right.
We got a lot of stars here.
So this is Lady Jessica in,
Paul's
in
on
a
her.
Little carriage.
Paul's on Florence
Pugh.
I like the taglines.
Pause on Pugh.
These movies.
Pause for Pugh.
Are the biggest star-studded affairs, I think, of our time. Like, we just saw Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya, you know, new Hollywood royalty just chatting on the sand dune. We got Florence Pugh as Princess Irulan. We got Austin Butler rising up and comer. Austin Butler coming up.
Yeah.
We already had Jason Momoa and Oscar Isaac. They both died in the first movie. And Josh Brolin and Stellan Skarsgård. I was going to say Stellan Skarsgård. Javier Bardem. Sorry. Like, so
I saved
many.
That one for you.
This time we got Christopher Walken coming on, although he isn't in the trailer, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Just so much star power for this thing. All for a story about, warring feudal space families fighting over spice, fighting over paprika on the desert planet of Arrakis.
Yeah. I'm hard pressed to think of another recent movie that had this type of cast, you know, maybe outside of an Avengers, but that's almost like cheating because it's built in. But yeah, this is definitely, it's a huge cast. I loved seeing Florence Pugh getting a look at Irulan. So she only appears a little bit in the book near the end, and then she's in the sequels. So it seems like they're going to expand her role a little bit for the movie, I'm fine with. You don't get Florence Pugh if you're not going to give her a decent part to play.
Exactly.
So yeah, exciting times.
Let's
do we want to continue? Do you have
I
more?
I think we do. Yeah. Let's see what she gets up to. Beyond fear. I don't like the taglines for the trailer, by the way. There's poor old Duke Leto, Oscar Isaac. He dead now. Fury. Well, yep. I don't like any of these lines. I also don't like...
I totally forgot they even exist, so I agree.
I won't... Okay, so that's Austin Butler.
Can we
Butler.
Pause on Austin Butler? Back up for Austin Butler.
As the Eggman?
Yes.
Woo! I don't know.
He looks terrifying.
Fade Roth is supposed to be like a bit of... Isn't he supposed to be good looking? I've read the book in a while.
It has been a while. I would not be surprised. I mean... Clearly, the previous David Lynch version got that note that he was supposed to be good looking, because this is the role that Sting played in a Speedo in that version of the movie. It seems like they're going with the Harkonnen being, you know, very pale
egg
and
people,
very bald.
Yeah.
And that is their family look. We don't quite know why, but, you know,
well,
they're nothing if not being consistent. I think he looks terrifying. Jury's out for me on how much I like this look for him, but it's certainly striking.
Thanks,
and Richard is also right. He does look like one of the aliens from Prometheus. Totally on point.
He looks like the last egg in the carton. Okay, roll it.
Nice.
The Dune.
There's Dave Bautista.
They're all bald. I think like all the Harkonnen scenes are in black and white. They like live in a monochromatic land, like not just their faces and their heads, but just everywhere. And we got Paul Atreides trying to summon a sand dune, try and ride a sand dune. Javier Bardem being like, don't do anything
worm.
Too fancy. Sorry, summon a sand dune. Sandworm, yes. I mean, it's cool. Javier Bardem being like, don't do anything too fancy, which sounds too Star Wars to me.
That he's like, don't try to impress Chani, basically, and Paul's like, yeah, sure, but you know he's going to, their romance is going to be a big part of this. But
I mean,
this sandworm.
I wish you saw like the whole thing, like I'm sure they'll save it, you know, they don't want to give away everything in the trailer, of course.
Yeah,
but yeah, it'll be cool. I mean, look, I read the books not that long ago. And like, I know there is like zero jokes in any of them. So to hear them do like Star Wars band, like, don't get too fancy, Paul, is a little like, Frank Herbert would never in a million years write that. But I get it. It's a big blockbuster movie. You want to kind of serve up the action adventure element and not just the incredibly cerebral sci-fi. What is it? Stand for the fighters.
Well,
glory to the fighters.
Can we pause
that's
on
stupid.
Whenever Paul is he's gonna shout in front of the crowd in a sec. Can we pause on that? Play for
little crowd. Mob Deep.
I think you're right, Dan. It you know, Frank Herbert is not really known for his levity. but I honestly, it doesn't bother me with this because the first movie was brooding as hell. Like, it wasn't like a light movie. So the occasional joke doesn't feel like it's missing the spirit. It's just like, this is a 3-hour thing. If it's going to be depressing the entire time, slipping in, you know, 5 jokes in the whole movie feels okay to me.
Hey, folk love Dune. Apparently it worked for the book these past 60 years, but I get it. I get it. You want to have a little bit of fun. It's a movie. And there he is, Paul Maudib, getting up there, rallying the people to go to fight the power and then to go on an intergalactic genocide. But that'll be the third movie, probably.
Yeah, well, I don't know, you know, I don't really know what point in the Dune novels they're really getting off Arrakis and doing that. It'll be interesting.
Between Dune 1 and 2, the genocide happens, and the Dune 2 is all about him kind of grappling with, well, I tried to be a leader, and then my followers treated me as a messiah and massacred like billions of people of the universe. Oopsie daisy. But you know, that'll be then.
It'll be interesting to see. I like the decision. I hope that they do a third one, because I think adapting Dune Messiah feels like a pretty smart choice for the arc of like Paul in particular, because, you know, that does wrap up some pretty big stuff
Dune,
in his story. It does. So Dune Part 2 it's out November 3rd. Are you going to see it, Dan?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'll ask. Ha ha ha.
The first one was really, really fun. I thought it was good. Dune's not my favorite, like, kind of sci-fi fantasy thing in the world, but I do like it and I do respect it. And I liked the first movie. I enjoyed the book. So yeah, I will absolutely see it. Here's what I'm going to do. I mean, I like it for the ideas. I like the spectacle. I like the ambition. I like all the Hollywood stars and starlets up there on screen, just getting up there, being luminous. So yeah, I will absolutely see it. How about you?
Oh yeah. I mean, no question. It's a huge adaptation of a really famous sci-fi story. I think I would have to live in shame somewhere if I didn't, but I also really loved the first one. I thought it was really good. It kind of felt like the Dune adaptation I'd always wished and felt like that story should get and deserved. Mm-hmm. And I think they nailed it. You know, maybe it wasn't 100% perfect, but at some point you're just nitpicking for the sake of nitpicking.
Yeah.
I think it was a really spectacular movie.
What a barb.
Yeah. And I, based on this trailer, I got chills from the trailer, which does not happen often to me. So I'm definitely very stoked and totally prepared to be obsessed with Dune Part 2 this fall.
I liked the trailer. I didn't get chills. I didn't like those little tags. Like, the tag is "Long Live the Fighters." And it was like, "Long live, cool scene. The cool scene. Fighters." And I'm like, "Long live the..." Okay. I never heard of that, but whatever.
Yeah. I gotta say, that is pretty fair. And I feel like part of why that didn't bother me is because it was so forgettable that my brain just tuned it out. I forgot there was even any text in that trailer because I was just looking at the different pictures and the different people coming on that we were seeing for the first time. So yeah, I agree with you. I don't like those taglines. They're silly.
Came on. Probably not. But
they're AI taglines.
Long live the... What? What do you mean, long live the fighters? But yeah, that'll be November 3rd. Good for it. Daniel. Lovely viewers out there, are y'all watching or occasionally reading anything that you want to talk about?
Occasionally. Well, I'll just say for me, the main things I've been watching, I think I mentioned both of these last week. It hasn't been a very exciting week for me on the watch front. I'm still slogging through The Walking Dead. I'm a few episodes short of the ending. I'm deep into season 11. I think I've got a handful left. I'm watching solely out of obligation at this point because you don't watch an 11 season show only to quit like four episodes from the end. So I will finish it, but I'm not impressed with season 11, honestly. The stakes are so laughably low compared to most of The Walking Dead's run. The danger feels like, you know, they're debating over the ethics of the Commonwealth and the poor staying poor and stuff like that. And I'm just like, you guys were literally trying to avoid being eaten by cannibals. You were trying to avoid being stabbed to death by people dressed up like zombies. Now you're worried about, you know, who gets paid enough in the cake store. So the stakes are just...
It's interesting.
They've totally bottomed out on the series for me, but I've heard the finale's good, so I'm hopeful. And beyond that, I'm watching Succession. I'm into season 3 now, so I will be caught up before the season that is currently airing ends. And it's
nice.
Great.
I recommend it.
And I'm really nervous because Kendall, you know, he does what you want him to do, but then he self-sabotages so hard that it's like, well, I'm just watching these people make awful decisions, even though I wanted them to do these things. I didn't want it to happen.
Whenever
like
Kendall's
this,
on screen,
so.
I'm nervous for his life. Like, he's like one or two dumb decisions away from just exploding everything all the time. It's good TV, but
totally.
Yeah, he makes me nervous. Kendall Roy makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Weird name, too.
I think that's really fair. Really fair. I was watching. So in season 3, there's a turn where he pulls this PR stunt, and then it's this sort of thing you were rooting for him to do all of season 2. But then people accuse him of doing it for attention. And it's like, I never would have thought of that before this. But then he starts acting like he's doing it for attention. Like, what are people saying about me on Twitter? And it's so painful, this show, but it's so good.
Was that the birthday one with his birthday party in season 3? Have you gotten to that yet?
I haven't gotten to his birthday party. This is just the very beginning. So after the stuff came out about cruises and he was supposed to fess up to something and he didn't. And then the following episodes, he's like very, very interested in what people are saying about him and hiring lawyers and then not listening to them. And it's just so painful.
Yeah, it gets worse.
Watch these people utterly self-sabotage.
You enjoy that. I'm caught up. The recent one, Julie's Love and Succession. I watched the recent one. It's wonderful. It's and the final season, it's awesome. Really on a freaking tear. It's going to end strong, this show. I'm liking it a lot.
That's great.
I was watching The Diplomat. Cool. Reminded me of Homeland and the Americans. I have not watched The Diplomat.
Nice.
One thing I did yet, although I did hear it's interesting. And also watched Outlander for the third time. Hey, if it's not broke, don't fix.
Nice.
I did try out a new
season
show.
Season 7's coming. It's a good time.
Yes, it is. Not long. July, is it? Or is it June?
I think it's July.
Okay.
I'm going to look while you talk about what you're watching.
Okay. Ooh, what could it be? I did try a new show. I tried watching the new Amazon show Citadel, which they're really pushing hard. I've seen this on the side of buses. I've seen lots of ads for this. It's got Game of Thrones veteran Richard Madden, Rob Stark from Game of Thrones, and Priyanka Chopra, is that her name? As the other lead. Priyanka Chopra Jonas, we should say. Amazon spent, she's married to the Jonas brother that Sophie Turner is not married to, and not the third one that nobody knows.
That does narrow it down.
Yes. And Amazon purchased a lot. It's this big spy series. Apparently they spent a ton of money on it. I watched the first two episodes that are out and it's pretty boring. I can't.
Oh, okay.
It's very. Although I am curious who anybody else is watching it. If anybody else tried, it's very perfunctory. It's very, very shallow and very in a rush. To thrill you, I guess. Like, I'll just tell you that quick. So, like, the very first scene is that Madam Priyanka Chopra are super spies on a train. And, like, immediately, like, the first scene, the huge spy organization they work for is completely taken down and, like, just destroyed. They lose all their memories and become new people. And I'm just like, I don't know who they are
yet. They lose their memories.
So they have the amnesia cliche in there. There's a chilly, icy British villain. So they got that cliche in there. They got like the sexual will they won't. They got that. It's like they enjoy cliches, these people. And just I was like, I don't know who you are yet. I don't know what the organization is like. There's like no baseline. It's always rushing to the next thing. I've never gotten comfortable watching the show once. I don't like it very much, but it's pretty looking. And Richard Madden's got the shirt off, and they do some good fisticuffs. But it's not that good. No, I don't like it.
It's not selling you. Yeah, this is it's interesting because Citadel is a big swing for Amazon. So if you're not like familiar with what they're doing with it, they're airing this season right now, and their plan is to make other seasons set. I think one of them will be set in India and
no,
do
other
those
series.
As other series, but under the same franchise of Citadel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do them in foreign languages. So to appeal to their global audience, Citadel will become a global franchise. I think anytime studios are talking about how they're going to franchise a show before the show is any, we know if it's any good
flag,
I immediately I'm like, this is probably going to be a mistake. So I like Richard Madden and Priyanka Chopra Jonas. So I hope that this show is good or it finds its fans. I respect your opinion. So I fully believe you that it is middling. But it's hard. The studio's rushing to make franchises is hard. And it will never not feel like putting the cart before the horse to me.
I feel like Netflix ruined The Witcher trying to do that. They ruined Shadow and Bone.
I agree.
And now they're ruining this thing that isn't even a thing yet. I have heard that Love and Death is very good, though, to Andrew, who recommended that. I should get around to that. I'm also watching Barry. That's kicking ass on HBO.
Oh, nice.
That's in the final season. That show's great. I love that show. And then Ted Lasso.
I've heard this season's awesome.
It's very, very
oh, cool. It's
always been good. But yeah, HBO is ending Succession and Barry this year, and they're both going out on all cylinders firing. So good on them.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've heard that this season of Barry is great. So HBO is wrapping up some of its contemporary dramas a little bit. So
yeah, rock on.
And I have heard Love and Death is good. I've heard some mixed things because of how it portrays, you know, the person who gets murdered. Because you have to keep in mind that this is based on actual people. So these aren't characters. Ooh. They're playing real people. So there's a little bit of controversy over how it's changing who the victim is in a murder story, I guess. But I've heard that the show itself is really good and well-made. So glad you're enjoying it, Andrew.
Two church-going couples enjoy small-town family life in Texas until somebody picks up an axe. Love and Death. Coming to HBO Max this month.
Yeah.
On HBO Max.
I don't want to go into details of the murder story. In case
it.
Andrew doesn't know it, I don't want to spoil it. But yeah, somebody gets murdered and the show seems to not be doing a very good job from what I've heard of keeping that a nuanced conversation. They've kind of built one person up as a very annoying nag who maybe viewers will root for to get killed.
Well, God, did we like anything? Actually, yes. Barry and Succession, I'm liking a lot.
No.
never.
Okay.
if nothing else, should we go on to the WIC News lightning round where we get 20 seconds to just sound off on topics we didn't have time to get to during the main show?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. Let me look at this really fast. Love that. That WIC News lightning round. Here it is. Okay. Okay. You ask me the question first.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't know anything about this, but you rave about it, so I want to know stuff. So Warrior Season 3 is coming to Max. Not HBO Max. Max! On June 29th. What is this show, Warrior, and how hyped should we be?
Warrior is such a good show. Warrior is like the best show no one's watching. Martial arts drama based on an idea that Bruce Lee had back in the 70s. Period drama about the Chinese gang wars in San Francisco in the 18 whatevers. Really, really good. Really, really fun. Really exciting. Good acting. Good action. Looking forward to this very much. I'm glad it's coming back. It's never got a lot to watch, but we should watch this show. Watch Warrior and then watch it when it comes back. Great show. All right. Daniel.
Yes.
Isaac Hempstead Wright, who played Bran Stark, and Indira Varma, who played Alaria Sand, are coming to Con of Thrones 2023 in July, the biggest unofficial Game of Thrones fan convention there is in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, Con of Thrones is happening again this year, and the guest list is starting to fill out. So if you want to maybe get your picture taken with the King of the Six Kingdoms or hang out with Alaria Sand, you could do that. I believe it's August 25th to 27th, and tickets are on sale now at conofthrones.net. So this sounds awesome. I hope one of us goes to it.
I hope we both go to it. We really got to start talking to the people and see if we can get them to spring for cash.
True.
But that'll be next time. Anyway, go on.
Pull some levers. Make that happen. All right. So Natasha Lyonne was offered the role of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but turned it down.
That's just a fun little tidbit. I like Buffy a lot. And Sarah Michelle Gellar played the role for all seven seasons. And Natasha Lyonne, the woman from a poker face and just as kind of blown up Russian doll when it recently was offered the role. What a different world we live in. Nothing to be the same. AI wouldn't be around. We just live in a completely different reality had that happened. And just love to think about it. All right. Yeah. Daniel. Oh, here's another one. Pedro Pascal, star of Game of Thrones, The Mandalorian, The Last of Us, has also joined the cast of the Gladiator sequel, Gladiator 2, whatever it ends up being called.
Yes, to Gladiator, to Rome, whatever. Yes, Ridley Scott is making a Gladiator sequel. Pedro Pascal is going to be in it alongside Paul Mescal, Barry Keoghan, Joseph Quinn, and Denzel Washington. So the cast is getting pretty stacked. I'm just curious. Yeah, I'm just curious what the movie's going to be. But internet rejoice, more Pedro Pascal is never the wrong answer.
That guy is never not working. He loves to work. Okay.
That's true.
Moving on up.
All right. Oh, this is cool. So their release date got announced for the animated Avatar, The Last Airbender movie. It's coming out on October 10th, 2025.
Yeah, the Last Airbender wars are going on, beloved animated Nickelodeon series from the 2000s that I'm a big fan of personally. They're making a live action version for Netflix we've heard nothing about like for a while, and then a bunch of animated movies by a separate studio, and they're putting one out in 2025. I want to see some back and forth. I want to see like them have competing posters and competing announcements, but it's just good there's some movement on something. So get your ass in gear, Nickelodeon. I mean, not Nickelodeon, Netflix, and give us something. Daniel,
there you go.
In big name fantasy TV news shows, here's an image from the second season of The Wheel of Time, which is apparently coming sometime this year, sooner or later. What is all this?
Yeah, coming later this year. So we got some new casting announcements. From left to right, we've got Raga Ragnars as Bane, Ayula Smart as Avienda, and then Maya Simonson as Chiad. There are three Aiel spear maidens. So it's a desert dwelling culture that is very famous from The Wheel of Time. And we got to see them in costume in a new video that is on YouTube. You can find it. And we'll see more of them in The Wheel of Time season two later this year.
I'm ready to hear about that show. Jeez, it's been a while.
You and everyone else. It's Watt Wednesday. I haven't seen anything. Maybe, but it is what it is.
Okay.
They usually release teases on Wednesday for Watt Wednesday.
Oh, right.
W-O-T Wednesday.
It's Wick Wednesday is what it is, but it can also be Watt Wednesday, sure.
All right. Dan, so this next one, I think you have some opinions about this one. So AI generated a parody trailer showing what a Star Wars movie would look like directed by Wes Anderson, and cue the controversy.
Apparently, like,
what are your thoughts?
Anderson is like a thing right now. Whatever. The trailer was cute. I mean, I feel like some folk are reacting too harshly to these things and like, it's ridiculous. Anderson misunderstands things. Like, it's a parody trailer of like Princess Leia framed in a Wes Anderson-y way. It was perfectly cute. There's still so much unknowns about AI, what it can do, what it can't do. I liked it. I thought it was cute. It made me laugh, and then I moved on. And I'm sure there is still like input. Yeah. Did you watch it? Did you like it?
I briefly looked at it. I didn't particularly enjoy it, but I moved on before I had even finished watching it because just wasn't my jam. You know, I'm kind of in the I want to say anti-AI camp, but I didn't particularly like it. I think your write-up of this raised some good points about like using likenesses of people in AI.
We're going way over limit here, I know, but whatever.
We are. It's AI. We're not AI, so this is what you get.
That's true. If we were AI, we would be cut off.
We'd hit the buzzer every time. Yeah, so I was not super enthused about it. I just think there's a lot of stuff that needs to be figured out yet. But I didn't think this was the big controversy that it got made out to be either. It is a parody trailer, like you said.
Like, I thought that if that wasn't AI, I thought folk would really have enjoyed that. It was like pastel stormtroopers. Like, if Wes Anderson would do it, sure, fine, whatever, for like a minute and a half, fine, that works. But Scarlett Johansson, fake Scarlett Johansson. Should that be allowable? Should you be able to be allowed to just generate someone else's image and you didn't ask them? I'm not sure it should. So there's got to be some discussion about that kind of thing. But I thought that was cute, if maybe pushing the bounds of legal. And look, I've seen AI trailers that are creepy and weird. Like, there was one going around for like a 1920 set thing, and everyone looked like a monster, and they were just like, I don't like looking at it for that long. But this one was it felt curated. Like, there's like a meeting point, right? Where like there's a human being, maybe like he types in something and there's generating something, but they're still like choosing just so like where it goes, how it goes, what part you're seeing. This thing did feel a little curated, and we don't know where that, if there should be a line and if there should be a happy medium, where it is, but I bet there's someone there is one, and we're going to find out through trial and error where it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I do think the likeness thing is a thorny one that does definitely need to get addressed. Yeah, but I think you're right. You know, as with any tool, it'll be a lot of painful trial and error, and probably legally sticky trial and error until we find that point where it's not, you know, a problematic, but still useful.
Okay. We've gone way over time.
We've got way in the weeds here. Take that, lightning round. I think we've got one more, right?
Oh, it's for you. Daniel, 20 seconds and no more. Netflix renews its fantasy drama Sweet Tooth for a third and final season.
Yes. My, how refreshing to see Netflix not cancel a thing. So Sweet Tooth, their post-apocalyptic show about human-animal hybrids. The second season is on right now, and it's getting great reviews. So thankfully, Netflix did not pull the plug on it. And if you are enjoying it, you'll get to see season 3.
Boom.
Cut off. No more. That's buzzed. It. We can't go
no
over.
More. That's it.
We never do.
I couldn't
we
talk
never
about
will.
It for longer if I wanted to, so gotcha. It's fine.
And by the way, Julie, you're coming over to Miami in July, August. Very exciting. Although that's
nice.
It's going to be hot in Miami in July. But I hope you have a great time. What brings you to stateside? Miami in July and August? That's not beach weather. That's hide under, like go down to a basement and hide under like a pile of cool laundry weather. But I hope you have a great time. It's hot in Florida in August.
That's
enjoy. Anything else we want to say?
Selling it.
And before we sign off, or anybody else?
I don't think so. You know, just thanks for tuning in, everybody. As always, it's a fun time hanging out with you all.
It is. And good. I'm glad you enjoy hot weather. It's going to get someone to come to Miami. Thanks for watching, everybody. We are live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, or if it helps you, 3 p.m. Mountain, 1 p.m. 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Mountain, noon.
That did help.
Western. I'm going to find some other time zones too, and it did not, I confuse things and work them in here. Also, download some podcast format where podcasts are available, be it iTunes, Google Play, or elsewhere. See you next week. Cody Schultz, thanks again, and stay away off my turf.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.